Good morning to you all, and a welcome to our service this morning. To those of you here in the church, looking well filled this morning, I'm happy to say. Those of you watching at home and those who will join us later on the various social media platforms. As we meet for worship, may we be aware of God's presence and be responsive to him. Things happening in the week ahead. On Wednesday, we have our prayer time at 1 o'clock, and we try to remember just to take a few minutes out of what we're doing to pray together for the future of our church. And then Thursday evening, as our Bible study at 7 o'clock, we're following the same themes as in the morning services, and the information about the Bible study and the background reading for it will go out along with all the other information that you'll get later on today. TOFM is meeting at Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning in St. Margaret's Hall, and you're asked please to bring your own mugs. And then next Sunday, the 6th of February, Connect meets at 9:30 in the morning. This is the first time we've had Connect this year. We had to cancel the earlier one. But we're looking at the theme of forgiveness, which will be the theme of tomorrow, of next Sunday's service, and the Bible study the following Thursday. We can't quite be as free as we were in the past, but we still will manage to have some coffee and something to eat and meet together for Connect, and hopefully a number of our young people will be able to join us for that as well. And then the service next Sunday at 11 o'clock. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. We are gathered in God's presence. Let's respond to it with CH4770, I love you, Lord. Psalm 90 starts with these words, Lord, you have been our dwelling place through all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Our short lifespan on earth is situated in God's eternity, from everlasting to everlasting. We live our lives in his presence. Let us ask for his guidance as we do this with our hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Father God, Lord of all, you are indeed the bread of heaven, the bread of heaven, the strong deliverer, the strong deliverer. On our journey through life, we are not fearful, not lost, not alone, for you are our guide. You are ever present. Lead us on, Lord, and take us to the rich and full conclusion, not only of our small lives, but also of the span of human existence on earth. Lead us to live fruitful lives, filled with the joy of your company, urging us to obedience to your guiding word. Point us towards the fulfillment of your kingdom that we long for as we worship today. Enable us to do your will. Energize us to persist in the desire to see your glory in its fullness. We thank you for the knowledge that you've given us even more than this life on earth. Prepare us. Prepare us for the glorious and eternal future we will share with you and with one another as we follow you here and now. Prepare us for that future, Lord God. Hear us now as we pray the words of the family prayer of your church. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Grant.
Okay, the strap line for this morning is transformation. And it's all about the secret of beauty, but not just any beauty, but the most beautiful beauty that's ever been, ever will be, and ever shall be. The beauty that never parts, the beauty that comes from deep inside, the beauty that comes only from transformed hearts. Somewhere, sometime, a long ago, lived a beautiful princess. And indeed she was beautiful. She was beautiful from the top of her head to the tip of her toes. She had beautiful hair. She had beautiful eyes, beautiful lips, and a beautiful nose. And everywhere she would go, people would shout, "You're incredibly beautiful." Of that, there is no doubt. Every day she would hear these words when they shouted, "You're incredibly beautiful." Of that, there is no doubt. And she heard it so often that she started to believe it. She knew it, and she let everybody else know it. But there was a young man, a flower seller, who didn't seem to get excited. He didn't shout, "You're incredibly beautiful." Of that, there is no doubt. So she went to him and said, "Why don't you shout, 'I'm incredibly beautiful, there's no doubt'?" He said, "Yes, you're incredibly beautiful to the eyes. But beauty comes and goes. Outward beauty comes and goes, just as the ocean's tide. But true beauty never parts, the beauty that comes from deep inside, the beauty that can come only from transformed hearts." And she said, "No, that's nonsense," and walked away. But these words bothered her. And each day she would go back to see if that man would shout, "You're incredibly beautiful. Of that, there is no doubt." She would change her hairstyle. She would wear different clothes. But still that man said, "Outward beauty comes and goes, just as the ocean's tide. But true beauty never parts. The beauty that comes from deep inside, the beauty that can come only from transformed hearts. The days turn to weeks, and the weeks turn to months, and the months turn to years. And the young princess grew into a beautiful lady, but only to look at. As she did, she became more conceited and selfish, and had fewer and fewer friends. And one day, after many years, she realized her beauty had begun to fade, and she woke up an old and unhappy woman. Then she remembered the young man who sold flowers and heard his words. Outward beauty comes and goes, but just as the ocean's tide. But true beauty never parts, the beauty that comes from deep inside. She sought him far and wide and found him living in a simple house, surrounded by his family and friends. But she was shocked when she saw him because he had aged. But he remembered her and said, "How are you? I am lonely and bitter and friendless. My beauty has long since gone. Everything in life has been coming meaningless, and my time on earth is done." The humble flower vendor took her hand. "All your years you celebrated a beauty that would not last, and ignored a beauty that will never disappear. Now learn the secret of true beauty, the beauty that never parts, the beauty that comes from deep inside, the beauty of transformed hearts, the beauty that only God imparts. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." The old princess spent the rest of her days with that vendor and her family and discovered the beauty they enjoyed. The beauty possessed by those who recognize the beauty that never parts, the beauty that comes from deep inside, the beauty that only God imparts, the beauty of a transformed heart. Susan Gilland will now come and read from the Gospel of John and the letter to the Hebrews on the theme of transformation. Susan.
Our first reading is from John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, the wedding at Cana. The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." When the jars had been filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then, when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now." This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The second reading is from Hebrews 5, verses 11 to 14, a call to spiritual growth. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skills to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Amen, and may God add his blessing to these readings of his holy word.
Willie, can you put me on? Yeah, thank you, Susan. A host always serves the best wine first. Then, when everyone has a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There was once a sculptor working hard with his hammer and chisel on a large block of marble. A little boy who was watching him saw nothing more than large and small pieces of stone falling away left and right. He had no idea what was happening. But when the boy returned to the studio a few weeks later, he saw, to his great surprise, a large, powerful lion sitting in the place where that marble block had stood. With great excitement, the boy ran to the sculptor and said, "Sir, tell me, how did you know there was a lion in the marble?" Like the sculptor in that short story by Henri Newman, God is at work in our lives, creating something good. He is the potter, and we are the clay. And the question is, are we spiritually mature enough to believe that God is doing something beautiful with our life, making us who we were supposed to be, a process the Bible calls sanctification? And the challenge for us is not to be that like that little boy who was amazed there was anything there at all because he was not mature enough. Today we're looking at growing old, and this is a second in a series of six on basic Christian life skills, which we'll explore more on Thursday. And if you're interested in joining us for that, speak to us after the service and we get you onto the Zoom codes for that. I'm not going to be able to cover all the areas, but my aim is to provide a foundation that will hopefully encourage us all to put effort into being weaned from spiritual food to more solid food, as we heard in the Hebrews passage that Susan read. Now, Robert Browning, a Victorian poet, penned these words, grow old along with me, the best is yet to be. We're all growing old, and as some wit has said, growing old is not so bad when you consider the alternative. For the follower of Jesus, the alternative, however, is a good option. For me to live as Christ, to die as gain. The best is yet to be. Death has lost its sting. Because the Christian has been promised that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall be there mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things has passed away. However, the first part of Browning's poem, Grow old along with me, is not for the other side of this mortal coil. It's also for our lives here and now, for today. Grow old along with me. The best is yet to be. But that's all well and good, isn't it, when you're fit and well? But what about those of us living with chronic illness, such as incurable wasting conditions, cancer, people living with conditions that come under the theme of dementia? We recognize that growing old, or more specifically, old age, doesn't come by itself. We acknowledge that an aging body is part of life. With loss of function, we have no choice. But both a correct attitude and an approach to aging, one that is biblical, is entirely up to us. And that is my aim this morning, to provide a basis on which we can explore the merits of growing old, even when that process robs us of our intellectual, our emotional, our physical and social faculties. And even if we become just a shell of who and what we are, we can still proclaim that the best is yet to be this side of eternity. For the Christian, there is honour in the ageing process. Grey hair is a crown of glory. It is gained by living a godly life. Robert McQuilkin, who was the first president, I believe, of the Columbia Bible College, wrote, "God planned the strength and beauty of youth to be physical, but the strength and beauty of age is spiritual. We gradually lose strength and beauty that is temporary, so be sure to be concentrated on the strength and beauty that is forever." That was the message of this morning's scene setter. The whole of Scripture teaches us that God does not intend for us to retire from spiritual activity. God's desire for us is to continue to bear fruit for Him, which in a sense keeps them young. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will still stay fresh and green. With the encouragement and the observation not to lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And most importantly, this is the promise that we have in old age, no matter what the state of our bodily functions and faculties. "Even to your old age and grey hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." And what about our responsibilities? "To this day, I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me. O God, I will declare your power to the next generation." Growing old is unavoidable. Growing up is optional. In our Hebrews reading, we can hear the writer's exasperation with his audience. "You are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen." Just like you need physical food for physical strength, you need spiritual food for spiritual strength. In the physical world, milk can't satisfy the nourishment that a mature body needs. A mature body requires solid food to grow and mature. If my children who are in their 20s were still in their prams and only drank milk, something would be very wrong. So spiritual growth is the process of becoming more mature in one's relationship with Jesus and becoming more like Jesus. Spiritual growth begins with the moment a person comes to faith in Christ and should continue until a person enters Christ's presence when this life is ended. It's a work in progress. All living things grow. With human beings, we watch babies learn to crawl, to walk, to talk. We grow from total dependence on our parents to eventually being parents ourselves. The maturing process is a journey to independence. And our spiritual journey is actually just the opposite. We start off in rebellion against God, thinking we are fully independent of Him, where our attitude is, "Shove off God. I'm in charge. No to your ways." Sin. Becoming spiritually mature is the lifelong process of recognizing our complete dependence on God and learning to rely on Him rather than on ourselves. Spiritual growth requires discipline, and spiritual disciplines focus on the relational aspect of knowing God, not just the intellectual aspects. As we grow and mature in our relationship with Him, we increasingly realize how much we need Him. We thirst for His presence. Some talk of old age as the golden years. but those living in them often don't find much gold. However, there is treasure, the lion from Nguyen's story. If you trust in God's promises and allow him to work in you. This treasure can also be like an old couple who have been together for many years, but keep working at the relationship. The flush of youth is gone, yes, but they still discover new things about each other. However, there are many relationships where this is simply not the case. And in the same way, there are many Christians, Jesus followers, that are spiritually malnourished. Like our princess in the scene setter, life is becoming meaningless. They have lost their appetite for God, and they've lost their appetite for the Word of God. Bible study, discussion, fellowship, attending worship regularly, personal devotion, confession, solitude, fasting, prayer. These and other spiritual disciplines have lost their freshness. And we cannot expect to grow and stay strong in our faith apart from a regular diet of these activities. Just like we must care for our bodies and establish healthy patterns of eating and exercise when we're young. Ecclesiastes puts it like this: remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. And disillusionment kicks in, and everything in life becomes meaningless. So we must care for our spiritual nature by establishing healthy patterns of Christian activity, healthy spiritual disciplines, and the earlier the better. We as a church obviously cannot force feed you, but we want to inspire a desire within you to crave intimacy with God. It is important that we all self-examine ourselves to identify what kind of spiritual food we are eating. Our reading from Hebrews challenges us not to be dull of hearing. We are to move on from the basics of the Christian faith to more solid food. We are all to become teachers, but not in the sense of classroom teachers, but in the sense of being able to help others learn about God and about the Christian faith. Simply put, it means that we should be able to explain our faith and be able to defend it to our children, to our grandchildren, to our neighbors, to our friends, to anyone asking about Jesus. And as our relationship with Jesus and our understanding of ourselves and God deepens, we can then better differentiate between good and evil, between right and wrong, justice and injustice, what God wants us to do in this world and what breaks his heart. We have godly wisdom to share. Grow old along with me, the best is yet to be. We should be becoming more like Christ each day, and even when our body is failing and our faculties greatly diminished, God still has purpose for us. So how do we understand the best is yet to be for people and carers living with chronic conditions? I am now going to tread where even angels might dare to tread. We need to hold on to truths that have come with the experience of knowing God and knowing ourselves. Not just head knowledge, but relational, qualitative experience. I'm going to paraphrase John Dunlop, an American geriatrician whose expertise in this area. And on the notes that come out for the Bible study, I've put three links that explain his thinking in more depth. We need to hold on to the truths that God is in control and God has purpose in our lives, that the image of God in us now is not any less than when we were younger and at the peak of our physical powers. That God is loving and that God is kind. He could have prevented my illness. It was not because he didn't care, but he was going to accomplish a lot of different things through my illness. And there's something positive here, something about growing, something about thriving and flourishing, of bearing fruit despite our frailties. It includes, perhaps, as people potentially become less competent, they start to trust God more and rely less on themselves. And it's a great antidote to pride. For those caring, they also recognize their dependence on God for help. And for the church community, they are confronted with understanding how God is at work in someone who is not, perhaps, cognitively able, and also how to support both carer and sufferer. God has the best years ahead of us, even though it's easy to be persuaded it's too late, and that you cannot teach an old dog new tricks. Do not believe it. When we are satisfied with our spiritual lives, we get complacent. When we are complacent, we stop trying to grow. Don't be satisfied with what you've discovered about God so far, whether you've been following Jesus for one day or 50 years. There's always more to discover and enjoy. So the invitation is to grow old along with me. The best is yet to be. And to continue Browning's words, the last of life for which the first was made. I'll say that again. The last of life for which the first was made. Like the wedding in Cana, the good wine is yet to come. And this is the Christian hope, yes, in the life to come, but also in the here and now. So no life is purposeless or futile, regardless of age and health status. Spiritual maturity recognizes that there is a lion in the marble and recognizes that God is at work. So may we strive to become spiritually mature. May we know God, may we know peace, may we know wisdom, may we bear fruit, and may we tell the next generation. May that be our story. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that day by day you are at work in our lives, transforming them beyond all our expectation. Help us to keep firm hold of the conviction that you continue to change us, and that whoever we are, whatever our health, whatever our age, whatever we do, whatever we face, nothing is outside the scope of your renewing power. Gracious God, save us from ever losing sight of that fact. Save us from retreating into pessimism, fatalism, defeatism as we age. Encourage us to thirst after you, to find rest in you, to take up the spiritual disciplines, so that we can, through our words and our actions, separately and together, speak of how you've changed us, so that in turn you may change others. Amen. We now sing CH4 502, Take My Life, Lord, Let It Be, and then Helen Murray will lead us in prayers of intercession and the future of the church.
Thank you. Lord, help us to pray and help us now to pray. Father, in these uncertain and ever-changing times, it's hard to know where to start when so many known and unknown to us are struggling to get through each day. We ask you to be with those who are coping or not coping with addictions and the effect that it has on their families, relationships, and probably financial problems. We pray for those who are caring daily at home for loved ones, especially children who will never grow up to have independent lives. Bless those with mental health problems, and we pray that the easing of restrictions will help as they feel less isolated and alone, and hopefully able to go back to work and meet up with family and friends. Be with those who have been bereaved. May they feel your love and the comfort of your Holy Spirit in their grief. We thank you for NHS workers and pray that the pressure on them and their families will ease and that this year will be better for all those whose dedication, sacrifice and care has helped us all through the pandemic. We pray for teachers and all staff and pupils in schools, colleges and universities as they cope with the disruption of restrictions and absences, especially as they work towards exams. Bless those who are waiting for doctor and hospital appointments and facing operations and treatment. Let us take a few moments to remember those who are known to us at this time. We pray for leaders all over the world, and particularly at this time, we ask that truth and honesty will prevail during these difficult times for the UK government, and that a way can be found to restore the trust and faith of the electorate. We pray for the deepening crisis in Afghanistan. We ask that your Holy Spirit will be there as families live in fear, misery and persecution. For some, so desperate is their plight that they are forced into the unimaginable situation of selling their kidneys and even their children to keep their families alive from starvation. We pray for the situation in Yemen and for peaceful resolution in the crisis engulfing Russia and the Ukraine. We now pray for Breda and thank you for the good progress in his recovery. We ask that this will continue and that he and Francie will enjoy a much needed break with their family in March after being apart for so long. We pray that as restrictions ease, we will soon be able to do more in our church and communities. Guide us and show us the opportunities we could take to be involved in, and may your Spirit move us to take action. We pray for the presbytery and their meetings resuming in our church next week, for Connect next Sunday, TOFM, the Guild, and many other activities which were disrupted because of the pandemic. Father, as the first snowdrops are just starting to appear, may we feel the hope and awakening as things start to come to life again. As in the line of the hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness," we pray for strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Bless us, keep us strong, and give us hope for the future of our church. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our closing hymn is CH4519, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Go now into your journey, deeper into God's grace. Go with the blessing of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.